shouldn't be too hard to find, but in case you want the page number, it's page 1250. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking, and he says, "Behold, see or look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." And then verse number 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take freely the water of life." This wonderful free gift. We thank God for his living word. I would have to say this morning that the book of Revelation is not an easy book to understand. It's probably the most difficult book of the Bible. There are all sorts of strange scenes and symbols and all sorts of strange creatures in this book. And there's much here that we will never understand this side of eternity. And so many people stay away from the book of Revelation. But I've been working through this book in my own private study over these past few months, and it is a very relevant book for the Church of Jesus Christ in this present day and age. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable, even those books we find hard to understand. And Revelation is a very difficult book, but I would say this morning, in essence, it's actually very simple and straightforward as we listen to what God is saying to us. And in the opening chapters of this book, there's this constant refrain. It's almost like a chorus in a song. "He or she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." And as we approach Holy Scripture, we are not simply reading, but we are listening for God's voice. We're not simply reading print on a page. We open the Bible, and we wait upon God expectantly, and we listen for his voice. And perhaps this morning you're here and you're saying, "Well, I don't have much time for the Bible. I know it's the good book. I know it's the best book of all. I know that I should probably read the Bible at some stage, but I find it to be a strange book and a difficult book, and I'll just leave it alone. I'll leave it for the minister. I'll leave it for the elders. I'll leave it for all those good living folk." The Bible is a book for everyone. It is revelation from God. And folks, in this present day and age, we hear people talking about reality. They're always searching for reality. They're always looking for the real thing. They're always looking for something of substance, something that will last. And it's only in the Bible that we find ultimate reality. We find here in this book the greatest issues of life dealt with. And here in the closing book of the Bible, and in the closing chapter of the Bible, we have this great reality of Jesus Christ, who is no mere figure of history, but who is a living, present reality. There is the reality of his kingdom. There is the reality of his second coming. There is the reality of his gospel offer. And this morning I will not be preaching for too long, and I'm keeping my eye very firmly upon the clock, and I say that for your encouragement. But I want us to think just for a few minutes about this book. There is the reality here of Jesus Christ. And so many people look at Jesus Christ and they say, "Well, he was a man who lived 2,000 years ago in Palestine. He died upon a cross." Some people say he rose again. And that's the way the media put across to us in this present day and age. He's only a figure of history. Yes, he's someone to be admired, but he's only a figure of history. But the Word of God tells us that Jesus, now at this moment, is upon the throne of the universe. He is the reigning King of glory. And he says here in his word and through his Holy Spirit, "Behold, listen, I am coming soon, and my reward will be with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I am no small insignificant figure of history. I am the reigning King of glory. And listen, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. Jesus here is speaking of the reality of his second coming. There is to be a great day of separation. There is a day coming when this world will be no more. As I understand it, your club is 85 years old, isn't that right? It's 85 years old. If we look back 85 years, how different things were then. And look how much things have changed, even in the last 10 years. It was taken that marriage was between one man and one woman. But now two men can get married and two women can get married. And our government are creating laws in this present day and age which are an absolute shame before a holy God. And yet the social reformers and the politicians and all the wise men of this world say that this world's improving. Things are getting better. Listen to what we are saying. And yet this book, the Word of God, tells us that this world is coming to an end. It says the very elements of this world will melt with fervent heat. There will be a payday someday, and Jesus Christ will return. And his people will be ushered into heaven, into the glory land, and those who don't know him will be excluded for all eternity. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to us here this morning about this great and yet this terrible day. Many of you here this morning will know who I am. I come from a farm not far from here. My father still farms away, but those who know me well will know that I'm no farmer. I certainly am no farmer. I grew up on the farm. I'm so thankful for that background and for that upbringing, but I haven't much of a clue about farming. But I loved the background, and I always loved the atmosphere of the farm. And 2 years ago, I went to see my father. He was cutting barley. I think it was a New Holland 8050. Now, I'm not into machinery, but that's what it was. And I had to speak to him about something, and my mother said, well, he's away cutting barley. She told me where the field was, and I went to see him. And I got up into the cab. I was only annoying him. I asked him the question very quickly, and then I had to go. But one thing struck me as I was sitting or standing in that cab. I've grown up around machinery all my life. I knew all about the combine. It's a fancy piece of equipment. And yet it does two things and two things only. It cuts and it separates. It cuts and it separates. The harvest is brought in. The grain is cut. And the good grain is separated off from the chaff, and it's final. And that process cannot be undone or reversed. And this morning I need to say to you that there is coming a great harvest day when there will be a reaping of the people of God into heaven. And those who don't know him will be excluded for all eternity. And there are no second chances. No second chances. Time will be no more. And this morning, the wonderful offer of the gospel is laid before this congregation to everyone. If you don't know the Savior, come to him this morning, confess your sin, and say, Lord Jesus, take away all my sins. Take away this filthy old coat. And give me a robe of righteousness. Richard was reading to us about the people of God in heaven. They had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, we are still in the day of opportunity. If you want to know life in all of its fullness and in all of its power, if you want to know the best life of all, trust in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to be happy in this world. I say this to young and old alike. You want to be happy. You want to know peace and contentment. It's found only in relationship with Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, the world will offer you so much. It will seem so attractive at times. And at the end of the day, it will leave you empty. Jesus says, I am, in the present tense, the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever wishes this morning may come to him and take the free gift of salvation. Do you know him this morning? The reality of his coming. And then lastly, the reality of his kingdom. This world is passing away. It's strange to think about that. It's strange to think that we who live in the realm of time will one day step over into eternity. There will be no more night. There will be the glory of heaven forevermore. And I long for that day. I really do long for that day. I'm 35 years old, and yet I know that this world is a very disappointing place. And we make our plans, and they seem to be so carefully laid, and yet they come crashing in disaster. Those things we never expected, those things come about, and what we plan for never comes to pass. Life is so uncertain. And yet there is the certainty of heaven. This world is a very disappointing place for many reasons. Some of you here this morning will know heartache and pain. Some of you will be saying this morning quietly within yourself, my heart is breaking, my heart is heavy and hurt and sore. And this wonderful book of Revelation speaks to you. It speaks of a lamb in the midst of God's throne, and he will lead his people to fountains of living water, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And I long for that great day when I see my Savior face to face, and when he beckons me into his kingdom, and when all those tears are wiped away, and then there will be only glory, glory for all eternity. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more disappointment. Because of the Lamb, because of his perfect work of atonement. You know, when I was growing up on the farm, and I'm almost finished, we used to grow potatoes for many years, and it always seemed to be that the crop was finished or the harvest was finished on a Saturday evening. It seemed to be that way from my memory. Perhaps there was more help available on a Saturday, and we used to work perhaps an hour or two longer to get those final few drills dug. And the crop was brought in, the shed door was shut, and then we enjoyed our supper. And it was wonderful to gather around the kitchen table and to enjoy our supper, knowing that all the hard work was over. There was a great sense of relief and happiness. This book speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It speaks of a great day of celebration. A day when our earthly labor will be no more, when it will have ended, and it speaks of the reality of that eternal rest in heaven. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. It's a reality, it's not just the gospel according to David McMillan. It's the gospel of God. And we have a choice this morning. We either take it and believe it and accept it as the Word of God, or we reject it. We accept it and we enjoy Him for all eternity. Or we reject it and we are shut out for all eternity. No need to be shut out. No need to stay away from Christ. You come to Him this morning just as you are. And you will find in him a loving and a gracious Savior. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning because you are the King. You are the only Redeemer. You are the one who saves and who keeps and who glorifies. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we see you face to face. Lord, in the meantime, may we know the power of your Holy Spirit. May we know your refreshing grace at all times. And for those this morning who don't know you, we pray, Father, that they will come to you, that they will trust in your Son, and so be adopted into your family, and so receive everlasting life. Work, Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I will be around for some time this morning after this service. If you would like to speak to me about these things, do come and see me, or even speak to one of the elders. We would be glad to talk to you. And our closing hymn is entitled, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. We stand to sing.